I hate people who abuse positions of authority. I don't care if that's a police officer. I don't care if that's a judge, an attorney, or most especially, a doctor.
This is audio from 2017, and it's surprisingly not from a Dick Wolf spinoff of SVU that takes place in London. It's an actual real-world police officer, George Joy, working in Farmington, New Mexico.
Because originally I'm from England. So that kind of freaks, yeah. people, that kind of freaks people out and they go, hold on, how can this guy be a cop? but I don't blame you. That only adds to my level of security in dealing with you, and I want you guys to be comfortable and trust me. And I don't play games, sir. I just don't.
Well, thank God he doesn't play games. Keep in mind, what he's referring to here as the thing that makes him feel more confident as a police officer is the fact that he sounds British. And the thing that is really kind of getting inside my head is, like, he's not wrong. We trust people with British accents more. What we're about to hear is audio of a phone call made to Officer Joy from a man named Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean is worried.
This is Detective Joy, the Farmington Police Department.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry to bother you after hours, but my name is Joseph Bean.
Yes, sir.
And I think you've been speaking with my wife.
Yes, sir, I have.
I just got served some papers, and...
These papers were an order of protection after he had threatened to kill Dr. Elaine Amamdi.
Okay. Now, the restraining order, I guess, from San Juan Regional is to keep away from Dr. Monday and the building and all that kind of stuff.
When I first met Aylin Imamdi, I screwed up the pronunciation of his name, too. Officer Joy has a background from the United Kingdom in working in counterterrorism in Northern Ireland. And on March 30th, 2017, he's working with the Farmington, New Mexico Police Department.
Here's what's going to happen, sir. I expect within the next 10 days to arrest Dr. Monday and put him in jail for the rest of his life.
Wait, what?
He is a sexual predator. He is a despicable human being. And I hope that I will track down enough people that he will never see the light of day again. I do not blame you in the slightest for whatever you said or for whatever action you thought was justified at the time, because man to man, I would feel the same way if it was my wife.
This feels like it needs a little something. I got it. But this isn't Law & Order Special Victims Unit, and none of these recordings were done for cameras or TV or your entertainment. They were done by law enforcement officers to protect the innocent and go after
guilty
in theory.
You're recording this,
right? Yeah, you just want, because it's, I'm going to have to say it again and again.
And you edited it all?
Yeah. So a couple months ago, I on the Facebook psychiatry network I'm a part of, one of the women psychiatrists posted that someone she knew was having like an impossible time getting hired as a psychiatrist because of a past trial regarding allegations that he had had sexual improprieties with a number of patients. Now, he was acquitted of all charges, and the board cleared him, and everything was fine. He didn't do the things. But because when you Google him, this comes up, and it's a whole thing, no one would hire him. So obviously, given the situation with Owen, I felt immediately pulled to be like, oh my gosh. And so I messaged the woman, and long story short, the person she knew is her husband, and it's this Dr. Amamdi, who is a psychiatrist, and they live in Brooklyn, and they have, what, three children, I think, three young children, similar in age to us. And the situation that they went through make SARS look like a walk in the park. Like, it was a horrible situation. And when I Googled this man, I read horrible things about all this stuff that he allegedly had done with women. Like, you know, if you want your medications, you have to have oral sex with me and all of this kind of stuff.
I'm listening through to some of the tape that you shared with me on the zip drive. Have you heard it?
I never. Which one? When I opened and I gave it to you, I never had it. I never opened it before.
My name is Owen Muir, MD, and I'm a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist, and sometimes journalist. I'm speaking with Dr. Aylin Imamdi and his wife on the telephone on New Year's Day, 2023.
Do you know what's on that drive?
No. As I said, like, when I gave it to you, it was sealed. I had it for about a year, and I never opened it, I guess because of my own trauma.
He is thin and tall and brown, and that part ends up mattering a lot in this story. He's ambiguously brown and ambiguously accented. He grew up in Trinidad. His dad was of a Muslim faith, and his mother was a Hindu. He has three children and a wife who's also a psychiatrist. He trained here in New York City. After residency, he and his wife both moved to fulfill their obligation to take care of people who needed it. They had a young family and two children, was about to become three. Detective George Joy had other plans for Dr. Imamdi's future, as he related on this incoming phone call to Mr. Bean.
It's something I would like you and your wife to discuss, and it's what's called a confrontation phone call. Have you ever heard that phrase before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's a specialized phrase that we use in law enforcement.
Now, I hadn't heard of this either, but typically what occurs during a confrontation call is the police will have either the alleged victim or alleged victim's parent contact the accused, and attempt to have the subject of the investigation make a verbal admission, which could be later used in court as a confession of crime.
What we're trying to trap him into admitting some of the things he has done so that we can record that and then use it against him. It's not entrapment. It's merely, you know, that would be the way that we would, it was subterfuge. You know, essentially we're using his own words against him, because that way he essentially confesses. And we can use that against him, and then it's really pretty.
So it's important to understand that when a victim or other individual initiates a confrontation call at the direction of the police, he or she becomes an agent of the government. In law enforcement matters, the government has extraordinary powers. And one of the bulwarks against that extraordinary power is supposed to be the presumption of innocence until proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So as your narrator, I have one up on you, which is unlike most true crime shows. I actually know what happened. He got acquitted on all charges in a criminal trial. But I have no idea what actually happened yet. I haven't gone through all the files at this point in time. And I'm confused. There are... What I am hearing already in the tape that I've shared with you and in the tape that I will share is that people have an extraordinary capacity to let their gut be their guide and let their feelings become the facts and then bend every other fact to match the narrative that makes sense to them. And I think a lot of this is from our cultural milieu, where law enforcement officers have been taught how to behave by Dick Wolf and Law and Order SVU. I'm going to reference John Oliver's TV show here.
The thesis on SVU is that the cops deeply care about getting justice for victims, and their gut instincts mean that they almost always get the job done in the end. It is a show built on the appeal of having cops who will stop at nothing to crack horrific cases. Cops like Elliot Stabler, who, before getting a spin-off show, routinely did shit like this.
Trying to keep you waiting. Hey, I get a little clumsy around scumbag pedophiles.
Detective George Joy sounds positively restrained compared to Elliot Stabler.
He is a sexual predator. He is a despicable human being. And I hope that I will track down enough people that he will never see the light of day again.
The next clip is also from The John Oliver Show. It's a producer for Law & Order SVU describing what he's learned is true about the training of police officers in the investigation of sex crimes.
We've also found out over time, and this is a little anxiety-provoking for me, that a lot of cops aren't trained in how to do their job in cases of sexual assault. And a lot of cops get a lot of their information from watching SVU, which a lot of police departments don't have the time or the money to put people through formal training.
People will go to this doctor when they are at their lowest ebb. They can't help having a mental illness that they need help with. If they could, they wouldn't be mentally ill. And to go somewhere and to ask someone for help and then have that person abuse that trust and abuse that position of authority in such a horrible way is just, to me, the absolute definition of evil. It just is.
The abuse of power is made endlessly easier with the conviction that one is right. And human minds are really good at this. Believing we're right lets us avoid a lot of our unconscious motivations. This story is extremely complicated, and I don't understand it yet. One of the reasons it's so complicated is because the town was small and enmeshed, and a lot of people needed psychiatric care, much of which was provided by Dr. Imamdi.
I had like about 1,100 patients, so I had like 1 in 40 patients in the whole town. 1 in 40 people was my patient in the town.
Factitious disorder was previously referred to as Munchausen syndrome, and it refers to the unconscious motivations that lead someone to consciously attempt to feign illness. The important idea here, because this is the only time the unconscious shows up anywhere in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, is that people have unconscious motivations for conscious actions. This is not a diagnosis for people who are simply faking. People who know they are faking, we have a different name for that. That's called malingering. Malingering is the medical term for lying because you want to get something out of it. Usually, when people are malingering, which is of course lying, they know why they're lying. Explicitly, factitious disorder exists because of the human ability to avoid seeing one's own motivations while seeing their own behavior unfold before their eyes.
This is the problem. As I told your wife, it just happens to be serendipity where another person made an allegation against him 4 days after this event. They called up the police department and said, "Hey, I need to tell someone about this guy because it's not right what he's doing to people." And that's led me to, you know, your wife and another victim.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Frontier Psychiatrist Podcast. This story is just getting started. If you've liked what you've heard, feel free to share it with your friends. TheFrontierPsychiatrist.com is the website, and the podcast has the same name. I'm your host, Dr. Owen Scott Muir, MD.